Today, my dear faithful, is the Sunday within the octave of Christmas. Now, the epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians, chapter 4. Brethren, as long as the heir is a child, he differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. So we also, when we were children, were serving under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore now he is not a servant, but a son, and if a son, an heir also through God. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. At that time, Joseph and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were wondering at those things which were spoken concerning him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and for the resurrection of many in Israel. And for a sign which shall be contradicted, and thy own soul a sword shall pierce, that out of many hearts thoughts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was far advanced in years, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow until 84 years. Who departed not from the temple by fasting and prayers, serving night and day. Now she at the same hour coming in confessed to the Lord, and spoke of him to all that looked for the redemption of Israel. And after they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong, full of wisdom, and the grace of God was in him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. God sent his Son that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Words taken from the epistle for today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, after about 3 centuries of persecuting the church, the Roman emperors began to realize that they were attacking some of the most principal people left in their empire. And one of these emperors who saw the Christians as moral and resolute allies was the father of Constantine the Great. This man's name was Constantius Chlorus. He devised a scheme to really prove if the Christians were as loyal as he hoped they were. He therefore ordered that all the men in his court must offer a sacrifice to the pagan gods. Anyone who refused, he warned them, would be dismissed from the court immediately. Almost all the Christians refused to offer this pagan sacrifice. Only one man turned his back on his Catholic faith. He offered the sacrifice, hoping to thereby gain great favor with the emperor. But the emperor turned to him and said, I can see that you are unfaithful to your God. If your heavenly Father cannot trust you, Constantius asked him, How can I, your earthly master, put any trust in you? The emperor then dismissed this unfaithful servant, even as he honored those who had stayed firm in their confession of the one true faith. Now, in today's epistle, my dear faithful, there is a passage which tells the story of why the Christmas season is filled with peace, joy, and happiness. God sent his Son that we might receive adoption. For 6,000 years, men were born, lived, and died under a terrible burden, which they could do nothing to remove. That is, men were descendants of sin-stained Adam. Everyone who was born through these centuries had incurred the guilt and penalty of original sin. No matter how virtuous one's life was on this earth, they would reach eternity only to find the gates of heaven closed fast to all the descendants of Adam. But on that first Christmas night, the situation had changed. Men could now be justified through the life, sufferings, and death of the Messiah, which began on that Christmas night. Men could be saved and allowed to enter the eternal kingdom of heaven. Now that the Redeemer had come, men could really and truly be brought into the state of grace as true sons and daughters of Christ, the second Adam. And this justification process begins when, through the waters of baptism, sanctifying grace is infused into the soul. At that moment, the soul is not merely cloaked with the merits of Christ, but the stain and guilt of original sin is really and substantially removed from the soul. When the waters of baptism are poured over one's head, all sin goes away, and the soul begins to participate in the divinity. That is, the soul, through sanctifying grace, internally becomes like the divinity, a small reflection of Christ himself. And to make sure that such an infinite grace is not wasted on the unworthy, the Church requires that even infants profess their baptismal vows. Throughout these centuries, the Church has repeated these vows many, many times, thank God. And we look forward to hearing these vows many times over in the future. But as we hear them, we should stir up in our hearts a desire to be loyal to our own baptismal vows. When we realize just what is happening to the soul at the moment of baptism, we begin to see that this is no empty ceremony. When we recall what happened in our own souls on the day of baptism, we should have a spirit of gratitude and take our own baptismal vows very seriously. After all, if a pagan emperor like Constantius Chlorus rewarded the loyalty of the Christians, imagine what a reward awaits good Catholics in heaven. On the other hand, the punishment received by the weak servant who turned against his principles for earthly honors was a mere shadow of what punishment await such a person after this life. The first vow that we took through our godparents was to renounce Satan. Now, of course, it is extremely rare that we would ever personally encounter the arch enemy of the entire human race. And so we next renounced all of his works. By this vow, we promise not to espouse such doctrine as heresy, schism, or atheism. And finally, we renounce Satan's pomps. And this is where we find an almost endless battlefield in today's society. All of the enticements to sin, all of the free, willful, unnecessary occasions of sin, these are Satan's pomps. They are empty and passing clouds without any substance, which seem to be lasting joys, but really can end in eternal misery. This happens when one is unfortunate enough to make them an object of desire to a grave degree. (Clears throat) It is then that these pomps rob the soul of the magnificent gift of sanctifying grace. Therefore, we must strive our hardest against these deadly allurements of the devil. That is, we must remember that avoiding the occasions of sin is not only something that will keep us in this state of grace, but it is something that we vowed to do. We had to make this vow before we were made sons and daughters of God, as St. Paul states in today's epistle. We are no longer slaves of sin, but sons and heirs of our eternal Father's kingdom. To keep our inheritance, then, let us ask our Heavenly Mother to help us preserve our baptismal vows. She brought our Lord into the world that we might be saved by his life and his merits. And she will not abandon her children who fly to her for protection. With her help and our efforts to avoid Satan and all his pomps, we can sincerely hope to enjoy not just the happiness of a Christmas season, but the eternal happiness of heaven. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.